Psalm 119. Beginning in verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Let's pray. Lord, would you enable, by your grace, each one of us to be able to say that you are our portion. What a glorious portion you are. Lord, give us the grace to enter in to what your servant said in this passage of Scripture. We pray for your blessing on the worship services today. We pray for your blessing on the preaching of your gospel. We pray that you'd give us hearing ears and receptive hearts. And Lord, accept our thanksgiving. We're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for all your glorious attributes. We're so thankful for your way of saving sinners by Christ, your Son. We pray that we might be enabled to sit at his feet and hear his word. Lord, we ask that you'd be with those of our number that are going through trials, sicknesses. Lord, we're so thankful that you're in control of all things. And we pray for the recovery of those that are going through physical sickness according to your will. Lord, give us hearts to love one another more and pray for one another more and seek to be true friends that stick closer than brothers. Bless us for the Lord's sake. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. Lord, we pray for our nation, the leaders. We pray that you would direct them. Bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Thou art my portion. What a word. The word portion is the word used to describe the parts or parcels of land given to each of the 12 tribes in the book of Numbers. The Lord is my portion. The Lord's my dwelling place. The Lord is my treasure. The Lord is where I live. The Lord is the only place I really feel comfortable in him. In the Lord. The Lord is my portion. The Lord himself, he's my treasure. He's my hiding place. He's my all in all. What a blessing when someone can say that. The Lord is my portion. Turn with me for a moment to Psalm 17. Now my portion is either the Lord or it's something else. Verse 13 of Psalm 17. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, and deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. I think that's interesting, the way he calls the wicked. They're in your hands. They're your sword. They're doing your purpose. They're accomplishing your purpose in whatever way it is. The wicked, everybody. Don't you love that the Lord is the Lord of the dead and the living? But look what he says in verse 14. From men which are thy hand, O Lord. He repeats it again. From men which are thy hand, O Lord. From men of the world which have their portion in this life. Now, if my portion is in this life, it's a very temporary portion that will not continue. How blessed it is to be enabled by the grace of God to say from my heart, in truth, the Lord is my portion. You can have any other portion you want, but the Lord is my portion. Back to our text. I have said that I would keep thy words. Now, you can't separate the Lord and his words. All you know of the Lord is his word, his words. You've never seen him physically. You don't even know what he looks like. I love that scripture, whom having not seen, you love. And all he is known by is his word. Words. Turn with me for a moment to John 14. Verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. It wasn't Judas Iscariot asking this question. It was a different one of the disciples. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? That's a good question, isn't it? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He'll guard over them. He'll regard them. He'll love them. He won't listen to anything else. If a man love me, there's the issue. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, my words. They're not precious to him. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now here is love to Christ. You keep his word. You guard over them. You don't want to hear anything else. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he's known, is by his words. Now back to Psalm 119. I've said I'll keep thy words. And then he says in verse 58, I've entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Now, my marginal reading says, I've entreated thy face. That's his actual presence, his face. This is what I want more than anything else. I want the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 6 for a moment. This is the great high priestly benediction. Verse 22, Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Numbers 6, 22, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee. And keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine. That is the same word. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now you see what he's asking for, the Lord's face, his gracious favor, his face. And that's what every believer desires above all things. I want his favor. I crave his favor. I've entreated his favor with my whole heart. And the whole heart means with my understanding, with my affections, with my will. This is all I want. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the understanding, with the affections, with the will. This is what we want. With my whole heart, I have entreated thy face, thy favor, thy mercy. So he says, be merciful unto me according to thy word. Be merciful. And that's the same word used in Exodus 33:19 when God says, I will be gracious. Same word. I will be gracious. Lord, be gracious to me. Be merciful to me according to your word, according to what you've revealed in your word. I'm not just talking about some kind of general vague notion of mercy. I'm talking about the mercy that you have promised in your word. That is what I need. That's what I must have. Look in verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned, literally turned back my feet unto thy testimonies. I've thought on my ways and they're no good. I don't trust my ways. I don't trust my thoughts. I don't trust my heart. I've thought on my ways. Oh, Lord, deliver me from my ways. By thy grace may I have my feet turned back to thy word. I think of what David said, and this is something that is always on my heart to try to pray. I hope I pray it sincerely, but this is, I can't think of a better request than this. Order my steps in thy word. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. That's found in this 119th Psalm. And that is the desire of every believer. I've thought on my ways, and my ways are no good. Deliver me from my ways and let me go thy way. Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Now, this is repentance. You have a change of mind about your ways. They're no good. I've turned my feet to thy testimonies, what the Lord testifies in his word. And isn't it glorious that the Lord does testify? You know what a testimony is? The Lord gives us testimony concerning who he is and how we can be accepted in his word. And here we have, like I said, repentance. I've thought on my ways, and I've turned back my feet to thy testimonies. Verse 60, I made haste. This is so important. I made haste. I didn't delay. I didn't wait. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Now, how were the children of Israel to eat the Passover? In haste. Not waiting for something to happen. Not waiting for a feeling. Now this thing of faith, this thing of obeying the commandments of God, believing the gospel, loving one another as he has given us commandment. This is not to be delayed. Don't wait until you're fit. Don't wait till you feel right. Don't wait until you think you're ready. Don't wait for anything. Believe right now. That is God's commandment. Make haste. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. And the commandment, I made haste to believe on Christ as the one who kept the commandments for me. I make haste to believe his command, to believe the gospel. This is his commandment, that you believe on the name of his son and love one another as he gave his commandment. No delay in this. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Verse 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I've not forgotten thy law. Now, just reading that without, on the surface, I think, what's that mean? The bands of the wicked have robbed me. I've not forgotten thy law. Now, quite often the scripture speaks in imagery that can be more plain than just plain speech. And I think this is an example of that. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. The cords, the companies, the ropes, the cords. That's what the word means. And what the word is the ropes or the cords that are twisted together to make a rope. That's what the word band means. The cords that are twisted together that make a rope. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. And if you look up the word, it's surround me. Surround me. The bands, the cords of the wicked surround me. Now let me show you an example of this in the scripture. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Speaking of the great high priest of the Old Testament, verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now look at this qualification of the high priest, Aaron and his sons. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? Now, that's the kind of priest I want. How about you? Someone who can have compassion on the ignorant and those that are out of the way. Astray is the word. Astray. Now look what it says. For that he himself, here's why he can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. He, in his own experience, he's surrounded with. On every side, he's encompassed with his own infirmity, sinful weakness. Now, when David or whoever wrote this says, "In the bands of the wicked have robbed me," I think the wicked man he's talking about is himself. That's my biggest problem. Is that your biggest problem? Myself. My old man. My wicked nature. That surrounds me, that touches me. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death?" And this is what he's talking about when he talks about the bands of the wicked. They surround me, they touch me, they're there. I can't get away from them. However, he said in the same sentence, "But I have not forgotten thy law. I've not forgotten, even in my struggle with myself, my perfect standing before God's holy law. I've obeyed it. I've obeyed it in my Redeemer, in my Savior. I've not forgotten that he honored the law and that I'm accepted in him." Verse 62, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." Now, does that mean that he set his alarm for midnight so he could wake up and do this? It may mean that. I don't know. But I know this. What it's really referring to is in the darkness. In the darkness. When darkness veils his lovely face. Is that ever the case? Of course it is. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest in his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. I'm out here in this storm, but I've got an anchor in the veil, in the Holy of Holies, in the very presence of God, and I cannot be separated from that anchor. My anchor holds within the veil. Now he says, at midnight, in darkness, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now, I have no doubt that he's talking about the righteous judgments of the cross. Oh, I love the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reminder to me, even in my darkness, that that doesn't affect my standing before God in any way, because my judgment was taken care of in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's even at midnight, I'm going to rise to give thanks for thy righteous judgments. You see, God's acceptance of me doesn't have anything to do with what I feel. It has wholly to do with what Christ accomplished on the cross. Christ taking complete responsibility for me as my surety when he said, I'll be surety for him. Of my hand, he says to his father, shalt thou require of him. If I don't bring him here before thee, let me bear the blame forever. Now that's my hope, that Christ is my surety. And we rise and give thanks for his righteous judgments. Now look what he says in verse 63. I'm a companion. These are my people. And the word is united too. I'm united to these people. I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. I'm united to, I'm knit together as one man. These are my companions. These are my people, all that fear God. Now I love, and I want to have this sense all the time of the fear, the reverence toward, the respect of, the awe of God in all of his glorious attributes. I stand in awe of his holiness, his otherness. That's you worship. I stand in awe of his complete sovereignty, how he controls everybody and everything, and his will is always done. I stand in awe and worship. I stand in awe of his immutability. He never changes. I stand in awe of his independence. He has no needs outside of himself. You think of how needy we are. He has no needs outside of himself. We stand in awe at his omnipotence. He's all powerful, all wise, absolutely just. We stand in awe. That's what the fear of God is. You are in awe at his glorious person. You're in awe of the cross, that God would send his son to die on a cross to save sinners. You fear this God. And this is not talking about the slavish fear of, oh, I'm afraid he's going to squash me because I did something wrong. This is talking about an awe of respect and reverence. You fear God only when you look to Christ only. If you don't look to Christ only, you don't really have any fear and reverence and respect of God. But if you really do fear God, you're going to look to Christ only as your only ground of acceptance before God. Now, those are my people. Those are my companions. People that actually fear the living God, that love the living God, that stand in awe and respect of the living God. Birds of a feather flock together. Those are my people. Those are my companions. Those are the people that I really want to be with, that I want to cast my lot with them. I want to be identified with them. I don't care if all the world hates all of us. I could care less as long as I'm with those people who actually fear, love, respect, and stand in awe of the living God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are my companions. I'm a companion of all them that fear thee, of them that keep thy precepts, thy words. Oh, we guard his word. We believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God. Now, a lot of people will say that. As a matter of fact, probably 75-80% of churches in Lexington say, oh, we stand for the inerrancy of Scriptures, but they don't pay attention to what they say. What does the Word say? Do you keep that? Not just stand for a doctrine that you've been taught, but you actually believe the Word of God. You believe it's His Word, and you keep it. You won't let any word go, well, that's not important, or that's more important than that, or you don't stand in judgment of the Word of God like that. You keep every precept. Every word is precious. Verse 64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Your kindness, your loving kindness, your goodness, your kindly favor, your pity, the earth is full of his mercy. Now somebody says, well, why are there hurricanes? Why are there disasters? Why is there disease? Why does this bad thing happen and that bad thing happen if the earth is full of his mercy? Why? How do you explain that? I just trust the character of the Lord. I might not be able to look at everything and say, well, that goes against it. No, I trust the character of the Lord. Whatever he does is right, holy, just, good, pure, lovely. And I might not see why he's doing what he's doing, but I trust him. That's the point. I trust his character. The Lord's good all the time. Amen? All the time. And the earth is full of his mercy. And let me say this too. Anybody who desires mercy will have it. Anybody. You desire the mercy of God, you'll have it. And if you don't have his mercy, guess what? It's because you didn't want it. That's the only reason. You didn't want it. You didn't want to have anything to do with him. You had no interest in his mercy. But understand this, the door is wide open for everyone without exception who needs mercy. Are you one of those people? Then you'll chime in. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Don't you want the Lord to be your teacher? Teach me your statutes. And included in that word statutes, as a matter of fact, the word is actually quite often translated decrees. I love the decrees of God because they're the decrees of God. He decrees everything. He's in control of everything. And teach me to love and rest in and trust your all-wise decrees because of who he is. Lord, be my teacher. Teach me thy statutes. You know, it's interesting. When I was a young person, when I try to read Psalm 119, it would appear to me, well, it seems like he's saying the same thing over and over again. He is. And that's good.